Beloved, we are now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, open our ears that we may hear Your word for us today. Open our minds so that we can ponder their significance in our lives. Open our eyes so that we can see the beauty of Your creation all around us. But Father, most of all, open our hearts, dwell in them, and set them on fire so that we may live according to Your word. This we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this morning, as we continue journeying with the risen Lord Jesus Christ through the Acts of the Apostles, and continue to explore the power that comes from the physically resurrected Jesus as it comes to the people of the first century church and is passed down through to today. And we hear another example this morning from Acts chapter 3, one of those senses of power that comes from knowing the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning it comes to us through the words of Peter. It's interesting because Peter has this rocky relationship with Jesus, right? He can go from hero to zero very quickly. And he does that when he denies the crucifixion of Christ. Remember, we read that just a few short weeks ago as we were moving up toward the crucifixion and Easter, and Peter in one moment proclaims Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he's a hero, and then next minute, as Jesus talks about him being crucified, he says, no, never, that should never happen to you, and Jesus had to go and say, get behind me, Satan, down to zero. He went from hero to zero at the Last Supper. You know, one moment he stands up bravely and says, we will fight with you, we'll go wherever you go, we will follow you wherever you go, and whatever happens to you will happen to us. And he boldly proclaims again that he's willing to follow Jesus. But then as he follows Jesus after his arrest from Caiaphas's house to back to Pilate's and Herod's back and forth, he denies Jesus three times. He denies even knowing him. Hero, zero. Well, it takes the resurrected Lord Jesus, the physically resurrected Lord Jesus, to appear before Peter by the Sea of Galilee, and we'll hear, probably hear one of those, that particular moment in history, in our scriptures as we move through Easter, and he stands there and gives Peter forgiveness. The risen Lord Jesus forgives Peter for denying him three times and calls him to feed his sheep. Peter, of course, is with the apostles when Jesus appears to them in a locked room. We heard last week from John's gospel, and this week we hear it from Luke's gospel. The same incident, that moment where they see the physical Lord Jesus risen. Luke's gospel adds a couple of things for us that John's gospel also had, but adds a little bit more. They were able to see him, and Jesus says, touch me, feel me. Last week, we saw the same thing when Thomas wasn't there, and Jesus says to Thomas, touch, feel, I'm real, I'm alive. Alive as you are. And this week, even though they touch and feel, they still have their doubts, Luke says. They still had, moments of doubting. And so Jesus takes some broiled fish. We call it today in the Holy Land, that broiled fish, that's called St. Peter's fish, by the way. If you ever go to the Holy Land, go to Israel, and go to a restaurant in Galilee or in the Judea region, you will find St. Peter's fish on the menu. Broiled fish. And he eats that before them to confirm again that he is physically risen. And again, that physically risen Lord Jesus empowers the disciples. And here we see that in Acts chapter 3, that it empowers Peter. Having been forgiven, he now goes from zero to hero again. And this time, it is with this amazing moment in history. Now, just before what we had read in Acts chapter 3, if you recall, Peter and some of the disciples are going to the temple and they find a lame beggar. And the lame beggar asks for alms, of course. He asks for some money to sustain his living, which was quite common for many lame and blind and those who were widows and orphans would do on the way to the temple, looking to receive the only way they could get their income or any kind of sustenance at the time. And so the lame beggar begs to Peter. Peter says, "I'm sorry, but we're as poor as you. We have neither gold nor silver. We have nothing we can give of any material value. But this I can do." And he turns to the lame beggar, takes him by the hand, and says, "In the name of Jesus, stand." And the beggar stands, completely healed, absolutely healed physically. Now, having been healed physically, he can attain his own living. He can now go back to working for a living. And it is this miracle that becomes a center of attention. It is that miracle where Peter takes the hand of the beggar, lifts him up, and has him walk, that now the throngs start to follow Peter into the temple. And they stop at the portico of Solomon, or Solomon's porch, it's sometimes called. I don't know if you can look at a copy of the temple in one of your study Bibles, but it is one of the areas that surround the Temple Mount, areas where there are living quarters for the priests, but there's also what's an overhanging, I guess you'd call it a porch area, that encircles around the temple at the time. And it is a place where all are welcome, because Solomon's porch actually is in an area where all nations can come up onto the Temple Mount. Now, you know, when you go to the when you go look at the Jewish temple, all people can only get to a certain area. And then beyond that, you have to be Jewish. And so Jewish men and women can go beyond that. And beyond that, again, only Jewish men can go. So, and beyond that, through to the actual temple itself, only the priests can go, and those appointed to work with the sacrifices of the temple. So you have these levels, but it is here in Solomon's porch where all can hear, everyone. They would be gathered there looking for the hope of the world, for salvation. All of these people have crowded in the temple for that, both Jew and Gentile, both. And they hear Peter's powerful words. And they are powerful. They are a witness to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He has gone from someone who cowers in fear of his only life, to not caring about his life at all, and taking up the call that Jesus extended to them, go into the world and to preach the gospel. Good news. Now, of course, all of the people gathered in Solomon's porch are looking to hear words from Peter, because they attribute this miracle to Peter. And Peter does the right thing. Peter does the right thing and points not to himself and the power that he may hold by his righteousness or his piety, he says, but rather Peter points to Jesus. And that is the key. He points to Jesus because that is what Jesus has called the apostles to do, to proclaim his name boldly into the world. And this Peter does. And he does it on the Temple Mount. He takes a huge risk as he stands there on the Temple Mount because he does one other thing other than point to the risen Lord Jesus as being the source of this miracle that they see before them, of this beggar who once was lame now walks before them in the name of Jesus. But he boldly calls people right there on the Temple Mount. Think about it. The place where priests are gathered, where the high priest and the Sanhedrin would be. And he calls them to repentance. And whereas once he may have denied Jesus three times as Jesus was on trial before Caiaphas and Herod and Pilate, he now says, "This Jesus you crucified." Think about the courage that took. It took a lot of courage to call them to repent. To repent. And in the name of Jesus, through repentance, to receive true healing and salvation. Not just temporary healing, which Peter had done in the name of Jesus with the lame beggar, but eternal healing that comes from faith in Jesus Christ through repentance of sins and the acknowledgement that Jesus paid that price, the propitiation of your sins. And he boldly stands in the temple and proclaims it. That's the power. That's the power of knowing the resurrected Jesus. And we will see that power further explained and shown as we move through these days of Easter now. We also hear it proclaimed for us, directly for us, but that comes through the second reading this morning from John's epistle to his congregations. The one that I began with this morning, it comes to them by reminding them they are children of God. The power is passed on. The resurrected Lord, power of the resurrected Lord Jesus is passed on from the apostles to the churches that they establish. And it is given also to the church. But John reminds them of how it is passed on to them when he says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, that we are, through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and by our baptism, we are God's children." And then he says these strange words. You may have thought these words kind of strange, and on first reading they are, What he will be has not yet appeared. What he will be has not yet appeared. Well, the he is Jesus. What Jesus will be has not yet appeared. In other words, John is saying to his congregation that what we will be will appear when Jesus appears. So the promise of the resurrection is given to the apostles, and the power of the resurrection that is extended to the church, and it will come to fruition when he appears. And he goes on to say this, "But we know that when he, Jesus, appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he truly is," or as he is in truth. We will see the resurrected Jesus. We will know when he appears. In other words, John is reminding the congregation, when Christ returns, when he appears, we shall know, because we will be like him. At that moment, on that day, we will have a fully healed and resurrected body as Jesus has. We shall be exactly like him because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself. So it has not yet happened, but when it does, we will know and we will stand before him and we will be like him. For the now, though, he has not yet appeared. So what we do, everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So we look to that day when Jesus will appear. We look to that moment when we will be raised and have a body exactly like his in all glory and in all physical reality. And everyone who hopes in that, who puts their hope in the resurrected Lord Jesus and the promise he extends to those who repent and believe in him and follow him, those who hope in that day, and we will be like him. That hope is what purifies us. It is that hope that gives the church its power. It is that hope that we saw last week gave the first church the ability to love one another, to care for one another, to meet one another's needs. It comes because they had this hope that they too will be raised as Christ was raised and promised all who have faith in him. And so the power of the resurrected Lord Jesus continues for us to this day through these words of John. And indeed, they are shown to the apostles in Luke's gospel again as they touch, feel, and see Jesus eating among them again. This is the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. It came through Peter, it extends into the church, for those of us who know that day when Jesus will appear, it is passed on to us who also believe and follow the Lord Jesus. We still yet hope in the resurrection as Christ was raised from the dead. We hope when he appears that we will stand there also, and as we purify ourselves. And so may the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.